You're listening to the Avenue Church Podcast. Our desire is that this message will inspire you to encounter Jesus and find a better way to do life. For more info and to connect with us, visit us online at theavenuechurch.com. Thanks for listening.
Good morning. Welcome to the Avenue. Some of you look like you lost more than an hour of sleep. If I ask if we could vote in the room right now, those of you online, you can join us. But if we voted right now to never mess with the clocks again, how many of you would say, let's never mess with them again? A majority, right? Man, I get it. I don't understand why we keep doing this. But, you know, we're going to talk about it twice a year at least. And it's going to keep happening. I do have another question, though. How many of you, when you get a new app or a new user agreement, read all 30 pages of fine print? How many of you read all of that? Have you noticed? It's just crazy. They make you look at it. It's 30 pages long. It's got all kinds of words that I really don't understand. And I don't read it anymore. I just go down to the bottom and click, I agree. Do you know how dangerous that is? I mean, my dad told me years ago, don't sign your name to anything unless you read the whole thing. I can't do that. I've bought houses and I didn't read it because it's too long. There's too much. And I don't know what I'm giving up. I may be giving up my soul for all I know. My grandchildren, I don't know what I'm giving up. I just know that I can't read all of it, and so I just click, I agree. Or have you ever signed up for something, and you didn't read the fine print, and it bites you? You know that subscription you bought for $6, and then a month later it's $48, and it auto-renews, and for some reason you can't stop it? For the last 10 years, I've got a $8.65 charge from Microsoft. I can't find where it came from. I can't find the Microsoft account it belongs to. I don't know how they keep getting my new credit card, but every month I get charged $8.65. And I've tried to cancel. Maybe you've tried to cancel memberships before. It's so easy to get it. It's so difficult to get rid of it. You don't get to click a button to cancel. You have to call somebody. And then when you call, what do? Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. Well, would you rather just have this slightly less miserable plan? Wouldn't that be better for you? No, I want to cancel. Are you sure? And then they transfer you to somebody else. I've just noticed it all the time. It's just crazy. Today, we're going to look at a story where people come to Jesus. And here's the interesting thing about Jesus. Jesus gives them the fine print up front. They come and they say, three different people, I'll follow you. And Jesus says, wait a minute. You need to understand the cost. Wait a minute. You need to understand what it means to follow me, because following me is not something that you add to your life. Following me is stepping into this life and giving it everything you have. It makes it harder. Jesus makes it harder to follow him because he knows that a cheap faith doesn't transform anyone. I think in the church, especially some churches like ours, we sometimes have a cheap faith. We sometimes give the message that, hey, just come up here and ask Jesus in your heart and everything's going to be great. Just say yes to Jesus and all your problems are going to be fixed. Your marriage is going to be fixed. Your kids are going to start acting right. You're going to get a raise. We act like, here it is, you're going to have this incredible life. Just follow. But Jesus, when they came to him, said, wait a minute. Your life may not be that incredible. You may go through some things. You may, like we talked last week, suffer. Because remember, the most important question he asked is, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And we talked about, who do we say that he is? And when we say he's the Son of God, and we say we're going to follow, that means that we are going to be willing to lay down our cross, to sacrifice, to go through what he's gone through, to follow him because of the love that he has for us. And we talked about that love of God and how important it is. And I used an illustration of this stupid little dog that stole my heart. And I know all the men in the room from 20 to 45, I have just lost all of your respect. I understand it. I get it. No, you don't. If I was 40 years old, I wouldn't respect me either. But I explained this dog. I don't know what happened. I have a dog that I know is going to continue to do bad things. I know it's going to do bad things. It's going to look me in the eye, and you saw a picture of her, and she's going to do exactly the opposite of what I told her to do. She knows what she's doing, but I still love her. And I talked about how God loves us that way, how he knows everything we've done in the past, and what really blows me away is he knows everything we're going to do in the future, but he loves us. That's an incredible love. But once we say who he is, we have to ask that next question. And that's what we're going to look at today. What does it cost to follow him? What does it cost? So Luke tells a story. Jesus is walking down the road. Three different people approach Jesus. And every one of them say the same thing. I'll follow you. I'll follow you. And then Jesus makes the moment awkward. He makes it uncomfortable. And I want you to walk through these conversations with me in Luke chapter 9. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. That's excitement, isn't it? And some of you, we had baptism one time, and everybody got excited, and you saw the people coming up, and we were baptizing them, and you were in your seat, and you got all excited, and you thought, man, that's what I need to do, and you ran up here. I've had a man come up here in his cowboy boots and fully clothed, say, I got to get baptized. We're like, well, we got, he said, no, I need to get baptized, and we baptized him in his clothes. Because he was ready. But sometimes I fear that excitement can lead to a bad decision. Because we need to count the cost. And that's what he says right here. He says, wait a minute. You want to follow me? He says, foxes have holes. Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. So what he's telling this man that wants to follow him is, hey, wait a minute. Following me may not be comfortable. Following me will not be predictable. There may be a point in following me that you have to forgive somebody that you'd rather stay angry at. There may be times in following me that trusting me when the future feels uncertain. There's going to be times that you follow me and you don't understand what I'm doing. There's going to be times that you pray and you don't hear from me. There's going to be times that I ask you to be obedient, and it's going to cost you something. So before you get excited and jump on the bandwagon and say, I'm going to follow, count the cost. Understand, it's not going to be easy. There are going to be things that are going to come up. It's not a predictable life. It is definitely not a prosperity gospel. We hear that. We hear that so much. If you just give to God, God's going to give you back 100 times over. Man, if that's the way it works, I'm giving God $2,000 today so I can get $200,000 tomorrow. That's not how it works. Following Jesus is unpredictable. He may ask you to do things that are very uncomfortable in your life. And I don't want you to start on this road until you understand it. It's kind of like a home improvement video. You watch YouTube, and the guy on YouTube is showing you how to do something in the house. He makes it look so easy, doesn't he? I mean, he's like, yeah, anybody can do this. You just do this, 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 and this. And after 5 minutes, it's perfect. Do you know what happens when I get into it? 2 hours later, it doesn't look perfect. And it's not easy. And it's a mess. And there are tools everywhere. And I've used words that Jesus has to forgive me for because I'm so upset. And then the worst thing that can happen is we're in the middle of it. And my wife will say, well, since we're in the middle of it, why don't we? Most expensive words in the English language when it comes to your house. And pretty soon, you're just in a mess because the project starting it is exciting. The cost comes later. Well, I want you to know if you're going to follow Jesus, we're going to walk to the cross. That's what we've been doing. We're going to do that all month, getting ready to see what the cross means. And I don't want you to get there too early because I don't want you to celebrate the cross without understanding what it takes to get there. Part of the thing it takes to get there, ladies and gentlemen, is the cost of following Jesus. Count the cost. Another man, Jesus looks at him and says, follow me. follow me. But he replied, Lord, first, let me go and bury my father. That sounds reasonable, doesn't it? That sounds reasonable, but you know what Jesus says? Jesus says, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Let the dead bury their own dead. That sounds horrible. Now, you need to understand, in this culture, his father hadn't already died. It's not that he can't go to the funeral. It's they had a responsibility to take care of their parents. And he's saying, let me take care of my parent. And then later, when he dies, I'll come follow you. And Jesus says, no. Do you know why he says no? Because Jesus understands something. Later becomes never. Later becomes never. And some of you have done that, and you've noticed how easy it is to say later. Later, I'll start exercising. Later, Monday, next Monday. I'll fix that relationship later. I'll clean out the attic later. I've been planning to clean out my attic for 5 years now. I read a book. I can't really give you the whole title, but it's Nobody Wants Your Stuff. And I understand, as a baby boomer, you know, I want to take the responsibility to get rid of everything, because we had to get rid of it for our parents. My wife and I, when our parents died, we just had to get rid of so much junk. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to clean out the attic for my children so they don't have to clean it out. I always say, later. It's hot in the summer. Oh, when it gets a little cooler, later. When it gets a little cooler, next weekend, I'm going to clean out that attic. And right now, it looks like my kids are going to inherit a box of just cords. And I'm sure they go to something. I'm sure somebody needs it to power up something. But it's just a box of cords. There's so much junk in the attic that I need to get rid of. But I keep saying later, 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 later. I've kept boxes of the children's things they did when they were little. You know, all the crafts and all the stupid stuff they made. And I keep it. I don't know why. Do you know what's going to happen to it? They're going to get the tub and go, throw it away. But later, I'm going to get to it. Later is one of the most dangerous words in faith. Later is dangerous for all of us. Because the more we say, I'll do it later, I'll do it later. Can I tell you something? As a pastor, I've been a pastor for 36 years. There's a lot of conversations that I've had with people, and they've been at the end of their life, and they've regretted saying later. They've regretted saying later because at the end of life, the things that are most important come clearly into your head. And some of you, you think you've got time, and you'll forgive that person later. Oh, I'm going to give up that habit just right now. Not right now. I'm going to trust Jesus later. Man, I really feel a call to go on a mission trip. I'll do it later. Man, the children, really, I have something I could give them. I need to volunteer in the children's area. But I'm too busy right now. I'll do it later. I'll do it when the kids are a little older. I'll do it later. I'll do it when I'm finished with select baseball. I'll do it later. Later, later, later. And later never comes. And can I tell you how important it is to not do that? Later becomes never. We always assume that we have more time. But Jesus speaks of the urgency. So this man says, let me go back and take care of some responsibilities. Jesus, I'll follow you later. And he says, hey, follow me now. Follow me now. Don't wait. Still another one comes and says, I'll follow you, Lord. But first, let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus said, no one puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. Now, these are tough sayings, aren't they? This isn't what we expect from Jesus, because we've created a real weak Jesus. We've created a Jesus that doesn't ask for anything and forgives everything and just lets you whatever you want. But that's not the Jesus we read about in Scripture. This guy said, hey, all I'm going to do is go say goodbye to my family. He says, nope. If you want to follow, follow. He says, if you put your hand to the plow and look back, you're not fit to serve me. As a farmer, when they're plowing a field, they had to keep their eyes straight or the row would really be crooked. I learned this lesson driving a motorcycle. When I first started learning to drive a motorcycle, I didn't realize something. Wherever my eyes were looking is where the motorcycle would go. And so if I saw the tree and I got worried about hitting the tree and I looked at the tree, guess what? I hit the tree. I had to learn, you know, because it's natural. If I saw a hole in the road, I'd look at the hole and I'd hit the hole. I learned as riding a motorcycle, I look where I want to go and I keep my eyes on where I'm going and I don't look to the side. I sure don't look back. I'm looking forward the whole way so I know where to go. And that's what Jesus says. If you want to follow me, you got to keep your eyes in the front. You got to look forward. That's why when you drive a car, the rearview mirror is small, but the windshield is big. One of my favorite lines comes from a show called The Gumbo Rally. Anybody under 50 won't get it. But there's a part in that show where this guy says, let me give you the first rule of driving in Italy. And he rips off the rear view mirror and he throws it out. He says, what's behind me doesn't matter. That's not exactly true. But many of you, you're spending your life looking in the rear view mirror. You're looking back. You're looking back at past hurts. You're looking back at past mistakes. You're looking back at things that have happened and you don't look forward. You keep looking back, and looking back is where you focus. And if you keep looking back at your mistakes and your regrets, if you keep looking back at what life could have been, gently, Jesus is saying you can't move forward if you keep drifting backwards. So if you want to follow Jesus, move forward. Don't do it later, because later becomes never. So here's an honest question. What are you saying later to? What are you saying later to? Some of you need to accept Jesus. And you know you do. You want to follow, but later. You want to follow. Some of you have been in church for a long time, and when you started, you were following Jesus. But now Jesus has asked you something. Some of you, it's going to get real personal because we talked about giving and he asked you to give. And you said later, when I get some bills paid off. Later. He asked you to serve and you said later, later. I'm going to serve later. He's asked you to get baptized. And you watched a baptism and you knew he was telling you to get baptized. And you know what you said? Later. Jesus says, follow me. Count the cost. Don't wait. Today is the day that we follow God. So what are you saying later to? Because later becomes never. What are you saying later to? Because God has something more for you. Some of you need to say, Jesus, I trust you. I trust you with my life. Jesus, I trust you, just like we talked about last week. Some of you, you want to trust Jesus, but you're trying to get everything in your life straightened out before you come to him. That takes us back to last week. The love of God knows everything you've done. He knows everything you're going to do. And he says, I love you anyway. So, because I love you, follow. Count the cost. Following me, there's going to be some things that are uncomfortable. Following me means saying no to you and yes to him. Following means you forgive somebody who doesn't deserve it. Following means you let go of the regrets of the past and you stop looking back and you look forward. God just loves you so much that he does want the best for you. And we say it's a better life. We don't mean in any way except following Jesus is the best life you can have. Even if it's unpredictable, even if it costs you something, the rewards far outweigh anything you're going to give up. We hold on to things so tightly, but God has so much more if we just let go. When you truly understand the love of God, when you truly understand how he cares for you, when he says, follow me, you listen. So it brings me back. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? We wrestle with the cost. What does it cost to follow him? Because when you finally see what Jesus gave for you, following him stops feeling like a sacrifice. And it starts feeling like the only response that we can give. Not later, today. That invitation he gave 2,000 years ago, he gives right now. Follow me. Follow me. Later means never. Would you bow? Father God, I ask you as we say these words that we'll put them in our hearts and say yes to you. God, that we'll count the cost. Father, I pray for that one that has put off following you because they're trying to get their life right. God, I pray for the people who are not serving you because they say later. God, help us today to follow you and not make the excuses that those three people made so long ago. Help us say yes in Jesus' name.
Thanks for joining us today. Our hope is that this message inspires you to encounter Jesus and find a better way to do life. We'd love to hear from you and get you connected on your journey. Visit theavenuechurch.com/connect to get started. To hear the latest from us, don't forget to subscribe. See you soon.